This is a recording of ISIS International from the Commission on the Status of Women, held in New York in March 2010.
ISIS International, documenting feminist visions, creating critical communications, and strengthening social movements.
Good afternoon to all of you. Yes, 10 minutes. I'm supposed to share with you what CAPWIP has been doing in the area of climate change, gender and in climate change. First of all, may I introduce to you CAPWIP. CAPWIP is the Center for Asia-Pacific Women in Politics. CAPWIP is dedicated to promoting equal participation of women in politics and decision-making. We do this through advocacy and networking, training, research, and information sharing, publications, meetings, and organization of congresses. In October 2008, we convened what we call the Global Congress of Gender in Climate Change and Disaster Risk Reduction. To our surprise, of course, we invited parliamentarians and women in decision making. But the bigger surprise was that we got a lot of requests from more than 20 international organizations to co-convene the Congress. And we only realized then that it was the first global Congress on gender in climate change. Thank you. We were very, very proud and honored that the topic we chose became an international interest for a lot of agencies like the UNEP, United Nations Environment Program, the UNDP, UNIFEM, ADB, IUCN, GGCA, WIDO. Name them, they were a part of this Congress. We co-convened it with them. And because of such a rich partnership, the Congress turned out to be a very, very substantive Congress. And may I invite you to the website of CAPWIP and the Online Women in Politics. We have uploaded all the talks, all the PowerPoints, to the point where you can hold your own congresses in your own respective countries by looking at these YouTubes and using them as your resource materials. Thank you. And furthermore, we are happy to report that because of that Congress, the government of Finland, is there somebody from Finland here, gave a very big contribution to the group of these conveners. And for the first time, the COP, the Conference of Parties of the UNFCCC that was held in Copenhagen, it was lobbied like crazy by these women, by these many organizations, and it put the agenda in the UNFCCC for the first time in a very, very strategic way. In 2008, the COP of the UNFCCC, the Conference of Parties in Bali, was attended by CAPWIP as a preparatory for the Congress. Believe it or not, the topic of gender in climate change was not mentioned anywhere in the outcome document, none. And in fact, our representative, Remy Rican, had to look for where is there any meeting about gender in climate change in Bali. There was none. She went out of the conference hall and she saw somebody standing by the tree in front of the entrance of the conference, and she said, "Come and join me. We're having a small meeting somewhere, and we're going to talk about gender and climate change." That is as late as 2008, March. That conference in Bali did not tackle gender and climate change. In the outcome document, there was no mention of gender in climate change. So when that Congress was convened, we got a lot of interested parties, one of the main activities that they thought they would do is to lobby Poznan and Copenhagen, and that's exactly what they did. And this was spearheaded by the GGCA, which is composed of a global alliance composed of WIDO, UNEP, UNISDR, and a lot of other organizations who are into climate change. And the gift we will give you today for being such good participants to this meeting is, if you wrote your email properly in that paper, we will send you a copy of a manual, training manual, which this group produced. It's a very simple manual, self-explanatory, and you can use it to lobby for gender in climate change in your own organizations to begin with. Okay, so it's called a Gender in Climate Change Training Manual. We will email it to you, so you'll have your own electronic copy and you can download it. We'll email it to you, and you're free to use it, free to duplicate it, and free to make copies of it, free to adapt it if you wish to your own local conditions. And if you have any questions on how to use it, feel free to contact us, any of the members of GGCA, which are listed here, by the way, in the Manila Declaration that we distributed, and we'll be happy to help you so that you can use it. Okay. Now, just to walk you through that document, through that training program, which is also the meat of what I would like to share with you, and you will find all these materials in our website if you want an elaboration of these topics. The first topic you should always tackle when you give any seminar or advocacy or talk on this gender in climate change is, why gender? Okay, and this paper I distributed talks about that. By the way, I practically lifted this from the UNIFEM website that talks about facts and figures on climate change. But if you will open the manual, we have our own PowerPoint presentation, very well made, together with pictures and complete with PowerPoints that you can already use to justify why gender should be in the topic of climate change. After talking about gender, you then divide the topics to mitigation and adaptation, which is really how do you adapt and what kind of mitigation processes should be used, and they are all gendered. They all talk about how gender gets into those topics. And it talks about technology, which was elaborated on a lot by our previous speakers, on green technology and simple technologies that women could contribute to help. No? And it talks about finance. Okay? The reason why we talk about finance in that manual is because there are a lot of funds that have been created by the UNFCCC that we should lobby, that women should lobby so that our projects could be funded. You know, our efforts in promoting gender in climate change could be funded using those various funds enumerated in the manual as they will be shared with you. So the format of the training is really very simple. You can invite a group of 20 or 50 people, and then you can divide them into four: gender, technology, mitigation, adaptation, and finance. And they can move around like that using the manual. By the end of even just a half day, they would have gone through the circle of understanding the four topics on a cursory level or on an introductory level, so that from there they can develop projects or you know, anything that they'd like to elaborate on. If your organization is more into technology, then you can elaborate more on technology. So let's congratulate the group that made or produced this manual, and we are happy to share it with you. We are authorized to share it with you, as you are authorized after you have received it, to share it with as many groups as you would like. This Manila Declaration that we shared with you is the first declaration on gender and climate change that was produced during that Congress. I think if you look through this material, I've been looking at it after so many, you know, months of studying the topic. I think it's a very well-made material. And if you look at the people who put it together, it's who's who in climate change and gender. So you can imagine how rich the background is and the material they brought into this document. And it's a very well summarized and abstract material that you yourselves could use. So that's what I have to share with you today. CAPWIP, this year, will hold another Congress, not in climate change, but on maternal mortality, a gender issue. Maternal and infant mortality, a gender issue. Maybe this is also another topic that you would like to look into. The MDG, the Millennium Development Group, has already said that there's one Millennium Development Goal that may not be fulfilled. And guess what? It's again about us women. It's the maternal mortality, MDG 4 and 5, which has to do with maternal mortality and infant mortality. But going back to climate change, if I may share with you, and I know you come from varied groups, I think we all should take it on as a topic, because whether we are in law or whether we're in justice or in health, climate change can wipe all of this out easily, very easily, if we don't do our share. And this is Asia Pacific. We emit 3% of the carbon that's being discussed here. 70% is emitted, of course, by the developed countries. That's why we're happy that Korea is taking the lead. Korea is one of the developed countries in our region, and we are also happy that the Congress also helped them in this way. So we invite all of you to look at this topic. I remember that during the Mount Pinatubo crisis, the eruption of the volcano in the Philippines. Gordon, his name is Gordon, he's a senator, he's now running for president. He was a Red Cross governor at that time. And when all the mayors were running away, couldn't say anything, he went on radio in his town and said, "Go up to your roofs and sweep your roofs. Now sweep, sweep. Do nothing but sweep. Don't be afraid. Just sweep your roofs." His city is the only one that had less houses that crushed. So it turned out that our houses cannot carry such heavy weight of lahar that has water. So simple, the technology. But because we were not prepared, no one understood it better than the Red Cross, who have training in disaster preparedness. The other cities really lost their homes, and we had to spend billions to reconstruct homes. But if we had known that when a crisis like that happens, all we have to do is go up to our roofs and sweep them so that the weight will not be too much on our houses, then we would have saved lives, okay? So there are many, many stories, and of course, they'll say 70% of those victims are always women. Thank you very much for joining us, and we hope that after this session, you will talk climate change also.
This speech was brought to you by ISIS International. For more audio reports, please tune into the ISIS website at www.isisinternational.org.